Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Hey, y'all, We Them Girls here. Are you a small business looking to grow your reach?
Well, we want to grow together. So DM us at We Them Girls Pod on IG, or you can email us at wethemgirls.pod@gmail.com.
We can't wait to grow with y'all.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network. Confirm.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big, I'm B Fines, and we got a special guest. We keep a special guest, man. We got Tank Brazy, man. Herman's grandson, man. Welcome to the show.
Grandson.
Explain that, man. Who's Herman, and like, and what does he like? He mean to y'all? What does she mean?
I mean, that's kind of like, I feel like that's like, no, not trying to be smart or nothing, but that's like self-explanatory. Herman's grandson. It's my granddad.
Yeah.
But he played a big part, a big, big part, because he got like 23 kids, so. But that's my grandfather. He's a big impact on the family, because, I mean, he started it, of course.
Right.
And my grandmother, but, you know, it was all good.
That's what's up. I just got off the phone with my granny. She called me, and she said, I miss you. Like, I've been so busy here lately. Like, I'm at school, I podcast, referee, on a third shift on the boat. I'll be dealing blackjack. Niggas be saying, I ain't never met a blackjack dealer, I guess. And she's a free, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Man, what you been up?
I'll be up her at the casino.
Really? You a gambler?
We won't talk about that on her. We'll be here all day.
Man, if you want to see a sad face, see me leaving that casino, man. I'm a real big gambler. I can't gamble. Just walking through a casino like a sick puppy, man. Just, oh, man, I'm about to travel to Cincinnati or somewhere to get my hands for real, dog. Yeah, sports betting's cool, but ain't nothing like dealing them cards and your craps and roulette or whatnot. So what you been up to, man? Tell me something good.
I ain't really been doing nothing. Just sitting back. Taking care of the little minions.
That's
getting ready for the holidays and Christmas.
So you ain't done with your Christmas shopping?
I ain't done yet, because, you know, you can't never be done. You see something, they want it, and you got to get it.
Yeah.
But I done started. That's a start. I started.
Yeah, that's what's up. Some people don't start to maybe about 3 or 4 days, and y'all don't know. Some people start in September, man. Why you let us sigh out like that? Oh, man, you ain't started your Christmas shopping? It's all right.
Wait till the week of.
You still got time. So this is the Big and Lazy Podcast. We ask everybody this. So give us something big, something good to eat, and lazy, something good to watch.
Something good to eat?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say one of my favorite spots I ain't been to in a while, just a small little burger place. It's called Jaggers.
Jaggers, okay, yeah. I heard about them.
Jaggers, they all right. And I ain't going to lie, you got to get the barbecue burger and add an egg on there. I know y'all going to be looking like, what? I'm telling y'all.
What's on the barbecue burger? Because I know an egg pops. I know an egg on the burger that sets it all the way up.
You get like the fried onion rings, burger. You can have it dressed if you want, and barbecue sauce. But it's the burger that make it. A-OK.
Okay, Jagger, I'm going to try it out. And give us something good to watch.
A lazy movie. I'm going to give y'all one of my favorite movies, old-time movie. It's called The Time to Kill.
That's a good movie, man.
Yeah,
Samuel Jackson
in there. He acting food for me.
Yeah, that's a real good movie, man.
To the people.
They get you riled up. Be careful, man. I'm going to put a caution on that, because that'll get you emotionally riled up. It got the aspect of, you know, man getting his daughter got raped, then he got racial tensions at an all-time high. But it's a good movie. Got Matthew McConaughey. He's a lawyer. Got Sandra Bullock. She's in there. That's a nice, it's a nice movie. Check it out.
For sure.
So you say you was a hooper back in the day, like?
Yeah, I had my first run of it. I played at PRP my senior year. If I'm not mistaken, I think I was the only player on that team to play college basketball.
Really?
Yeah. And I only
what year was this?
2016.
Okay.
Just at my particular school.
Uh-huh.
But I went to Union College after I graduated. I got a full scholarship at Union College over in Barberville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I redshirted my freshman year. We actually won the NAIA Division One championship my first year. And then I went to...
You got the ring?
No, I didn't... Man...
What?
That's another story.
We got it. Come on.
All right. So after I got there, I had options of schools I was picking. They told me I was too late to basically enroll into the school after the fact. So when me and the coach got back to, like, communicating about it, because I wasn't going to go there, I was going to go to a different school. I was also interested by West Virginia State University. I was going to pick them over it, but they weren't offering as much money as Union College.
Yeah.
So when I made the decision, they said I made the decision too late, and then my FAFSA got confused and messed up, so I wasn't enrolled properly. Right. So I wasn't on the roster until, like, the second semester.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't count, basically.
Ah, damn. They didn't give you a ring, acknowledgement, or nothing, no Letterman jacket, or something. I'm saying put you in the, you know.
I was on the sheet, but I ain't get the ring like everybody else got it, but.
Right.
I got the memories. That's all that really mattered to me, for real.
Real talk.
But I went there for 2.5 years, and then I transferred to Eastern Kentucky University.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a, what they call it, preferred walk-on.
Yeah.
I had a date. I was supposed to go to the practice and caught a case 2 days before the practice.
Really? You want to talk about that? Like, how, you know, what was the case you caught? You know, you want to walk us through that?
So don't
incriminate yourself. Don't you know if you know you ain't got
case dismissed. Beat that up.
Okay, there we go.
But when I first was charged, they tried to charge me with they said murder, but nobody was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came back and said it was attempted murder for a shooting to happen. But yeah, like I said, that case is dismissed. So
damn,
it's cool.
You don't want to go into the, you know...
Details?
Yeah, a little details of it.
All right, so basically, I was on campus doing my thing, and a guy just knew, like, I was kind of, like, fancy. Like, back in the day, you ever seen them people that wear the rope chains, got the fast cars, all the girls and stuff. I was at him, and they, one dude basically knew who I was, and he tried to basically rob me.
Yeah.
It just didn't go how he thought it was going to go, basically.
Right, okay. Okay, I got you. Damn. So was you cool with the guy? Did you know, like, was it like just a hating-ass nigga? Did y'all have a pass? Or?
I mean, we was cool to a certain extent. Like, I know he, you know what I'm saying, had great feeling to me, but it was just like, they ever seen like a junkie need a fix?
Yeah.
They just need something right then and there. They gonna do whatever to get it.
Right.
I guess he was just damn bad and broke, and he just needed it right then and there, and he tried to rob me for some money, and he put a gun out on me. I was just quicker than him, basically.
Right, okay. Well, I'm glad you're still here, man. And
appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, man, I always, anytime you see me, I don't bother nobody. I ain't really got too much going, but I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6, you know what I mean?
Hello.
And it's always, people always say what they would do, what they would do.
You don't know
what you're going to do in that situation, man.
For sure.
Adrenaline is high. You know, you never know what you're going to do. You might shit up and shit your pants, you know. You never know what you're going to do. Like, so I'm glad you're still here, man, and you beat the case. So, like, did you actually go to trial? Like, was it just no charges filed? Like,
right, so what happened was, in that situation, I always used to tell myself, because I was a CCDW holder, like I had my concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
So I always used to tell myself, if something like that ever go on, I'm going to stay there, I'm going to do the right thing, make sure the police come, and I, you know, self-defense automatically.
Yeah.
That wasn't the situation. Like you said, you never know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. So after the shooting basically happened, I ran.
Right.
Like, I left, hoping, thinking, like, dang, I ain't going to ever get caught, I'll be all right. Then something just dawned on me, like, I ain't even really that type of person to want to hurt nobody, you know what I mean? Because I was in school for nursing, actually, so, like, I was a person that liked to help people. But after I ran and stuff, you know what I mean, I kind of was, like, it was on my mind, like, thinking, like, dang, did I just kill this boy? What, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
So once I actually seen that he wasn't dead, I was like, cool, you know what I mean? I'd be fine. So I'm thinking, like, I'm going to just live, like, on a regular day. He ain't going to be able to tell on me. If he tell on me, he going to go to jail himself. Like, that'd be stupid, but I went to class the day I was supposed to have that basketball tryout.
Yeah.
I ain't make it to campus, though. By the time I got on the campus, I was swarmed by, I'd say, about 12 to 14 police cars.
Mm-hmm.
They swarmed my car. So they ended up locking me up. I went to jail for 2 years, and I went in 2019. If you think, the end of 2019 is when COVID came around and started. So in my mind, I'm like, I ain't do nothing wrong. I know I was really protecting myself. You know what I mean? So I knew I wasn't going to have to go through what everybody else was going through. So I had a positive mind the whole time, and I'm a God friend, you know what I mean, man? So I wasn't thinking. I'm thinking I keep my head on the swivel and stay focused about it. So COVID did happen, though, so I had to sit in there, basically, and I'm black, you know what I mean? So when they see a black boy shoot a white boy, they looking at me like, oh, you think you ready to come to our town and do that? So my bond was sky high.
Yeah.
My bond was $100,000 in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I ain't got that. But they ended up, what ended up happening was they ended up lowering my bond to $10,000. I ended up bonding out. And the lawyer that I had, I didn't really realize, like, and that's something I'm going to tell y'all, though. If you ever go in a situation like that, you really can't trust nobody, because a lawyer that I had was best friends with a prosecutor.
Yeah.
And I never knew until after, because people would tell me, like, you got to watch him, or I'm telling you, you got to watch him. But when you're in a situation like that, you're trying to hire the best lawyer you are. Right. So he was like $25,000 for that lawyer. And then once I found out what was going on about it, I had to get smart. So when I bonded myself out, I was on a watch for another year and a half fighting my case. I ended up firing him because the stuff, like all the evidence and stuff that was there, it was none. Like, they didn't really have no strong case against me.
Right.
Excuse me. And when I got, it's the thing, it's called emotional discovery. Once I got my motion back, like, to see all my evidence and stuff, see what went on, how he told his story or side or whatever. Because like I said, he didn't die. So I don't know why they came to me like that, saying the stuff that they were saying. So he said in a video, like, I was trying to rob him. And they was like, well, they said you had a gun, too. Did you have a gun? Witnesses say that they seen you outside with a firearm. He was like, yeah, I did have a firearm, but I didn't mean to, like, you know what I mean? I didn't have no intention to do nothing. I was just using it as a scare tactic.
Right.
So the police officer that was interviewing him was like, you can't, you know what I mean, have no firearm to scare nobody, because they'll have a gun, too, and shoot you.
Right.
So that right there alone should have told them he had ill intentions.
Right.
No matter what I came there for, whatever else, that's besides the point. He had ill intentions with me regardless, and that was just to rob me and try to take me for some money.
So he tried to rob you and do this, and he went to the police and told it and tried to get you.
Well, he was shot, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
When he was shot, I seen the videos, like the disc in my motion.
Mm-hmm.
He ran after it happened. He ran back in his home. So that gave the police, like, you know what I mean, probable cause to enter his home, because they followed a blood trail to him laying in a pool of blood because he was hit. So once that had happened, they started seeing all type of different things and confiscating any piece of evidence they came, and then they basically tried to make it like it was a drug deal gone bad, honestly. So,
right.
But he really just had ill intentions to rob me.
Right, man. I'm glad you got out of the situation, man. But we're going to take a little break. Not a big break. This is a follow my podcast. I want you to go to bigandlazy.com, and all our links is there. We own everything. There it is on the screen. We got a subscription service, not a Patreon. We got a Facebook. We got a Twitter. We got a YouTube. We got a Spotify. We got Apple Podcasts. We own any and everywhere you can find podcasts. We there. We thank you for the support. We thank you for the subscription. Every week, we just had our year in 2024. We had that wrapped up. You know, one episode a week. Our growth is 170-some%. We appreciate y'all, man. We love y'all. We love our fans and supporters, everybody. BigandLazy.com. So how'd you hear about the Big and Lazy brand? Like, what had you...
What are some
of your favorite episodes of the Big and Lazy?
I ain't gonna lie. I heard just about off social media.
Uh-huh.
So when I seen it, I just liked... This is weird, but... You asked me, so I like when people sign the board.
Really?
Yeah, I like when I see the people come and signing the board, just because it's like...
That's a wall of fame, man.
It's like, yeah, like it feel like it's a trophy or something like that.
Ah, man, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like something that, like, you know what I mean, it stick. But I also say, like, I like black-oriented stuff around the city, because it's not too many people that do stuff for our particular community, you know what I mean? There's something positive, you know what I mean?
Right.
In a great way. So, and, you know, most people is looking for money and stuff like that and all that type of stuff. I didn't really get that vibe from you when I had first talked to you, so.
Nah, man. Like, and that's why I say, man, we doing this for the love of the city, man. We just, and that was my goal to when we first started, to just give a positive platform, to give shine positive. Like, it's so much negative and stuff to get shined on. We trying to shine on positive. You got a positive message. You know, we got a lot of rappers and entrepreneurs, but anybody that got a positive message, we would like y'all to be part of the Big and Lazy podcast, man. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we we missing about 15 signatures on our, because we had it, like, the first two, maybe about 1 to 5 episodes, we didn't have it aboard at all. And I say we got it in maybe, like, episode 5 or 6. Then for about, I don't know, about 10 episodes, did nobody sign it. So, we missing. Sir, I'm saying, so we, like, one day, like, this big-ass sign right here, we got... You know, just, you know, drive engagement, you know, and we said, fuck it, you want to sign it? And just, you know, the balls kept rolling. The first person to sign it was my homie. I've been knowing him for like 22 years, Cleezy Picasso. But we got some heavy hitters up there. So you say you throw parties now. How's that? You want to explain that? Like,
yeah, so.
How'd you get into that?
I was in it before, but I haven't really been doing it as long as everybody think. So what happened was I got cheated out of an event because, like I said, I played basketball. I already had, like, a little popular name just because I was just, like, the little lit nigga around the city. So uh-huh. I used to go to everybody's parties doing stuff. But basically, one time, a person reached out to me for me to host a party, and they told me they was going to pay me. Mm-hmm. They told me they was going to give me $500 to just do my thing, run around, get on the mic, and do all of that type of stuff. So I'm like, all right, cool. Promote the party and stuff, post it on my page. So when I was doing it, everything was green until it was time to pay me.
Uh-huh.
The party, I ain't gonna lie, probably averaged over at least 500 people.
What party was this? Well, you ain't gotta save your own, but yeah.
I don't really want those shade, but it was a college event on U of L's campus. So we was doing the event, and he told me after the situation, basically, he gave out too many free tickets. But I'm like, bro, I can see how many tickets and stuff you gave out. Like,
yeah. And what's that got to do with you, man?
Yeah, like, we had an agreement. I don't have nothing to do with me. So once that had happened, basically, I'm like, all right, you cheated me out of my money. You only gave me $100, uh-huh. but I'm 18, so this is
right.
8 years ago. So $100, all right, cool. I'll take it. So he was just like, I'm going to make it up to you on your birthday. This is the summertime. My birthday is in January. It's actually coming up, Capricorn season. But so I'm putting an event together on my own to do for my birthday. So I reached out to him like, bro, you still got me, you know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, I still got you. So when it came around time to do that.
Like, got you on the money, like, type shit? Like,
nah. That ain't never the problem. But he was supposed to, like, help me put everything together and promote it how I promoted his events.
Okay.
So
when
it came time to do it, I said, I'm about to get the flyer and stuff made. You want me to put your brand and stuff on there with mine?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he was like, yeah. But when it came time, I dropped it, and he seen his brand was on there, and he was mad.
Why was he mad?
Call him and ask him. I really can't tell you, you know what I'm saying? So we had a little dispute about that. I ended up taking his name off and redoing the event, and I ended up having to do everything by myself, which was crazy. It was my first party when I turned 21. It was a success. Like, it was crazy. Like,
yeah.
I walked away with, like, $5,000, my first event in a regular scene, in a regular party.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, this is my steal. I'm doing this every weekend, man. But
uh-huh.
I really didn't because I was still in college, so I would go back and forth. But I would put together events on different days. I knew I would come back, like spring break or holidays and stuff like that. It was the best. So,
yeah.
I did that, but then I ended up going to jail, so I had to take, like I said, like 2.5 years off. But I got out, and I did a big-ass pool party.
What party was this?
At U of L's campus, okay. At the clubhouse.
Uh-huh.
So if you ever heard about them, those was mad. So I get out, I do the pool party. It had, like, at least 700 people the first pool party. That one was crazy, and it was free. I wasn't worried about no money or nothing. Uh-huh. I got security. I paid for the security, the DJs and everything. All that stuff was, you know what I'm saying, for free. So shout out to DJ Lil Jerry. So that's my cousin. So he had seen me do that event, and he reached out like, cuz, we about to open up a new club. It was called Ainsworth, the old Sully's out there by St. Matthew's.
Yeah.
So he was like,
did it ever open? I never heard of that club. Like,
yeah, this was years ago. Okay, it's closed now. But he reached out and was like, I got a Jeezy concert I got to do. And he was like, what you just did, man, you could, you know, put yourself in a situation to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, All right, so we started that up. We started doing parties together there, and that's how I really jumped back off the porch again. I'll say, like, because I was doing college parties at first, 18 and up.
Mm-hmm.
But after I did a pool party, I, like, migrated to 21 plus, and then I started doing that. I saved up some money, and then I did my first concert. I did Rob 49 at Havana Blues.
Yeah.
With George, Sir King Majesty.
Uh-huh.
Me, him, and his girl named Bree. We all put our heads together and did that concert, and that was probably, I'd say, one of the biggest concerts I did. I didn't did like five, but that wasn't my funnest concert, though. I ain't gonna lie.
What, your funnest?
It wasn't the funnest concert.
What was the funnest?
The funnest I did was with
Is Meech. Funnest a word? We just made some shit up there.
We on Big Lazy Podcast. Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah, there we go.
Hello. But the funnest I did, I think, was probably lazy. On Derby. I brought the dude, JP.
JP.
He's a younger rapper. He got like a younger crowd.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I brought him at Derby at that place at number 15.
Uh-huh.
That was a success, and I made some money on Derby for that concert. That was probably my funnest concert, for real, because I was drunk. I could still maneuver.
Yeah.
And I had a ball, though. Like, I had fun. Like, Rafa, that was a little bit different. That was my first one. I couldn't really mess that up being drunk, so.
Yeah.
But I had I had the blueprint, so I knew how I could do at JP. That was probably the funnest one I had, for real.
That's what's up. So what concert, or which party would you say you made the biggest bag? Like, you was like, at the end, you was like, damn, I made a nice amount of...
I'm going to say parties for sure. It was definitely all the pool parties. I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but...
Yeah.
It was definitely those parties because it was all me by myself.
Uh-huh.
I ain't go in with nobody. I paid my own money into it and did everyone by myself, and I got to keep every single dollar afterwards. But the most probably was Rob 49 as a concert, but we put a lot more money into that. Like, that was a $25,000. Concert just for him alone, though. That don't even include the venue, the security, the police, the DJs, the host. That don't even include none of them. But still made a bag there, too, though.
That's what's up. So talk to the somebody that's trying to get into the party promoting. Like, what's the proper steps if I wanted to throw a party or throw a, whatever? Like, what would it, step one,
Call me. No, yeah. I'm just playing. But I say, honestly, For real, you're going to have to stack your money first because you don't want to get into situations where you need somebody else to help you. Because when you start having to pay people out and your party's not a success, that's when your name becomes bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what's kind of went on, like, last year. And that's why the party scene now was kind of messed up. That's why, like, now we don't got nowhere to go. Like, every club's been shut down and stuff because it's all about the money. But when you're starting that, you should never think about the money because the money's going to be there. It's the safety of the people that you really got to worry about because now we don't have nowhere to go because the safety of the people is basically being jeopardized.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I hate when people blame the promoters or DJs for people's safety because, and honestly, we don't really have nothing to do with people that have so-called beef on the streets. Like, we don't tell him and him to come to the club together, and they know they got real smoke out here in these streets. Like,
right.
They make their own decision as a grown-up and do what they want to do.
Real talk, like,
so
if you got beef and you know people's on your top, just stay at home.
Yeah, like,
if somebody was out to hurt me, I wouldn't leave the goddamn house. I wouldn't.
I'd have moved out the city.
Yeah, I would.
Been gone.
Yeah, I hate that. Like, but, go ahead.
Other things I would say you need. If you do partnerships, you need a solid partner, not a partner that you can fall out with and they're going to go on Instagram, Facebook, whatever else and talk about you. You need people that's really going to be in your corner, right or wrong.
Hit a ding or something. Hit a little something. That's right.
If you get, like, if you need a partnership and you starting it, you need to get a person that's really in your corner because if you don't, they're going to go on Facebook, Instagram, whatever and talk crazy about you. You know what
it's
I mean?
Wild, ain't it?
Yeah, I see that a lot too. Like, I've seen people throw events. They events don't be nothing. They instantly run to Instagram, instantly run to social media and be like, blah, blah, blah was thumbs down.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's at SF8 too. They love putting a black person there. They love putting, and if you black folks can't wait to, you didn't got terrible service at all these other places, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that shit was crap. Hey, man, go on somewhere, bro. Like, it's one dude. You don't leave the house, but you don't go to no parties. I'm not saying you got to, but you always speak it on what somebody's doing, yada, yada, yada. Like, and I was talking to my buddy this not too long ago. Like,
I don't really step out much, but even if I could, I couldn't even tell you, like, what's happening, like... It seemed like there's no club for the urban crowd. Like, no, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not anymore. Honestly, like, everything that we basically didn't touch in the city's been shut down. But it's even before the shootings and all of that stuff happened, it was because of liquor license. They was messing with people because liquor, and they was trying to change the time of liquor. And, I like, just to make the people, like, why would we go here? We know we can't drink.
Right.
Like, me and Maz go to the club, we got to drink. You know what I mean? So, it's just, like, that's just a... The icing on the cake, basically.
Yeah, they'll pull that liquor license because, like you said, niggas ain't gonna come in there. Niggas trying to get drunk and turn up, you know.
Or if they don't, if I had a club and they pull my liquor license and you trying to come in the club, you're not about to pay top dollar to come in a club with no liquor. So they gonna lose money and they not even gonna be able to pay their bills at the end of the day, and they gonna end up shutting down.
Right. That's what they did to Virtue, man. You ever been in? You ever did any business with them?
Yeah.
I never, like.
I know Tone D. I didn't talk to mainly almost everybody. In the party promotion game, from people with big timers to me, I feel like I'm the smallest one.
Yeah.
So,
like, who was some of like the biggest, like, you didn't work with, like them, like some big names? This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines, and we're excited to announce our collaboration with Fleur. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Fleur, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map.
Honestly, that's a good question. I feel like, to me, everybody's big. Like, I can shout out anybody that I work with because they definitely put me in a situation to win. It's just me being the younger one because I'm probably the youngest one out of everybody I didn't work with as far as DJ Lil Jerry, B-Hen, Tay in the Mix.
Yeah, so
my cousin Mike, he was with Big Timers and them. So, no, I mean, I said Big Good Timers. I mean, Big Don Entertainment. I'm sorry.
Are they still around, Big Don Entertainment?
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. They've been around for a while. Like, R.P. Big Don.
But I'll say, honestly, the person that probably helped me the most was definitely my cousin Jerry. Like, just from him showing me different things, from him having them, he ain't about no money, because he didn't put some money in my pocket also, but he didn't actually had sit-down conversations with me about being in the party promotion game, just like, you got to quit trusting certain people and moving a certain way, whether it was different host security. Like, it's just been different things. And I also worked with a dude that helped me. He's the one who helped us start Ainsworth, you know, Michael Carver.
I heard him.
Yeah, that's my dog too, Mike. But I didn't did a lot of things with a lot of different people, whether it was just me hosting the party.
Like, right.
Not even me having to put no money in, and they just wanted to, we want you to promote this, and we put some money in your pocket.
We got to get DJ Lil Jerry. Could you make it call for us, man? Could you help us get him on here?
Yeah, that was my person of interest. When you said I needed to pick a person.
Yeah, I never asked you that, but yeah. But
he was going to be my person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got to get him on here, man. DJ Lil Jerry. It's long awaited, man. Like, we got to, what is it, 5 years in a row, DJ of the year? It's something crazy, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to start DJing, though, cuz, so watch out.
Really? You coming for him? Oh, man, hey.
Nah, I'm just weird.
Yeah, he's definitely... Sold it. Ed sold out 30 codes. That was a hell of a run right there.
Man.
I love codes, man. Like, but I just got, it's nothing against code, but I just got burnt out. Like, just people like, let's turn up because it's Friday. Let's turn up because it's Saturday. Like, ain't no comedy show. Ain't no concert. Ain't no, like, I got to step out for something. Like, I got past that stage in my life real quick. That was early 20s. Like, it's Wednesday. It's, I'm like, I'm cool, bro. But codes, I had a, man, you'll never have somebody like in a club in the hood, you can smoke, whatever, you can do whatever in Coles. Like, that was a Coles for the club for the people, man. You got any good memories in Coles?
So I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't the type to go to Coles, but I ended up going to Coles a few times before it actually started closing down, because
yeah,
Jerry would say, cuz, come on, you gotta come with me, woo, come find me. So I'm gonna say I went to Coles right before my homie ended up passing away. I'm gonna say Long Live Nut. They had a, I forgot what bash they had in there, but he was like, cuz, you got to come. So I went, I seen everybody, and they was like, no way we really got you to come, because that was not my, like, I just felt so, like, yeah. I ain't feel safe going to Cove sometimes. I don't know why. I just felt like it was just a lot that used to go on down there. But
real talk,
I definitely had a ball, though, when I went, though. I ended up going back. I ain't tell nobody, though.
Yeah.
But I went back for sure.
Yeah, man, I used to leave my car unlocked. I said, fuck it, just go on and just leave my car. So, save my window so my shit won't get busted. Seriously, go on and leave it unlocked.
Yeah, okay.
Just don't bring no strap or no, you know, you get my little change or whatnot, but shit, just go on and leave it unlocked. If you're going to get in this motherfucker, because ain't that alarm and the lock ain't going to stop him from getting in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just save your window. Because I'm when I first got my whip, man, I went, it was Money Bag, yo, this is Derby of 2017. Coles, mm-hmm. He came to Coles. And shit, I just got my whip too. Like, I ain't had it a couple of weeks. And they busted my window. Not only did they bust my window, but they fucked up something in my door that sets on the window. So I just couldn't call Safe Light. So I took it back to the dealership. Man, they had my car all fucking summer, man. I'm trying to mob in my car and, you know, make moves. And yet they had my car. I was in a rental, of course. They paid for the rental. I'm like, but it took them good 2.5-3 months to fix a goddamn window, bro. But yeah, my OG said it. He says, leave your car unlocked. Like, don't leave no money or nothing valuable in there, but just save your goddamn window.
Yeah.
And shit, they gonna get in it. They gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm gonna think about that from now on. I'm glad you said
it. Real talk, leave it on.
For real.
Because hell, like, you in the club, music playing, you not gonna hear the alarm. Ain't nobody gonna, that'll just save you a headache right there, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, what do you see yourself in the future, man? So, what are your future plans like in the near future, in maybe about 5 years?
So, honestly, I actually like doing the nightlife thing. Like, my biggest goal, I went to that 85 South show. Did you go to that?
No, I didn't go to that one.
All right, so, I went to the 85 South show.
I got a story about that, but go ahead.
We going to hear that, but yeah. I went to the 85 South show. It was my cousin's birthday, Herman's other grandson.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that, right, and we was just in there, and they was playing the music, and something just told me to stand up and turn around. So when I stood up and turned around, I just seen all the lights, like, around, like,
uh-huh.
It was probably about 10,000-12,000 people in there or something like that. That's what it looked like to me, but
is that
I was
something?
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I was just like, damn, I want to throw a concert so big it looks like this. Like, I want to be in that setting, so I want to really grow with my company, Most Valuable Promoters, LLC. So mm-hmm. I want to just make it as big as possible with that scene, but I don't want to just do it in Louisville. Like, I want to be a global, like, traveling party promoter. Like, I want everybody to know me in the world.
There you go. In the world. He said, not America. He said, the world. I was looking at them clubs. I followed the Passport Bros on IG. Them fucking Thailand clubs be looking lit, but it be,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they be looking lit. But it's funny you say that you got inspired at the 85 South show. That's the main reason why I started this podcast. I went to the one last year, this is 23, and I'm like, these niggas is up here just telling jokes, like, no slight to them. I'm like, but I always been funny. Like, I've been doing this shit, just be on the couch or whatever we are, just riding and joking. I'm like, we could do that. And this was May of 23, so we started this, and I just left it. I'm like, because I had a podcast before, and I was on the fence about starting it. My co-host at the time, and he was trying to talk me into doing a podcast. I'm like, man, I don't want to do it. But I'm like, in the back of my head, if we do it, we got to come right. We got to come, because my first podcast was just like a SoundCloud shit. So I'm like, we got to come with the video. We got to come with the short film content. We got to go hard. And I ran into this man, B. Haywood, over here, and we know. And so I left 85 South. I'm like, man, I need, that was just a little kick in my ass, like a little fire, you know, under my ass. I'm like, I'm getting this shit started. And about a month later, June 13th, that's when we dropped our first video. And we dropped every week since then.
Yeah.
You know, like 82 episodes, like low 80s. So, yeah, shout out to the 85 Shout. So, did you have a good time at the show? Like,
hell yeah. They kept trying to tell me to get up. I said, I'm not getting up, because if they joke on me, I'm getting on the stage with them and riding everybody out, DC included. But yeah, I had a ball, though, for real. I snuck my little I forgot this was recording.
Yeah.
And I'm just playing, but I snuck my little look and I had a blast, though, for real.
They don't give a fuck at the goddamn Yum Center. They, all them blunts has been blown. I went to the Wayne concert, that EST concert. I ain't never seen so much weed smoking. Niggas was, I understand you get to your seat, you fire your blunt up. Niggas was walking to their seat smoking, but it was just, that was a monkey gal. It was a good concert, though. It was a little, it had this, they came out a little too late, but once they got it going, it was a hell of a concert. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked the Indies background for real. It made me hungry when I seen that.
Real, that was dope as shit, bro. So how do you feel about the, how do you feel about ESD?
I mean, I don't.
Because it's a love-hate with him. I like. My thing, I don't got nothing to do with that other shit, but far as music, I
listened to his song on my way here.
I did, man. Me too.
But that don't have nothing to do with me.
Stay neutral, stay out of it.
Party promoter.
Yeah. So that Indies background, you bring in a, I don't think a concert ever came like the Louisville. Like, you had Future, you had Doug, you had Lil Baby, you had Iceberg, you had a.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted Wallow and Gilly to come on stage for it. That was that was dope. The $1 million worth of game.
Yeah. They was with him though. I seen when they was doing they vlogs and stuff for the day. Gilly kept telling him, he was like, "Nigga, take me to the island. You want to keep? I don't want to go back over. I want to go to the island."
Yeah,
but I don't know if they ever went. But I seen they love vlogs and stuff for real. But
now I don't think they ever made it because they were supposed to go to Indies and they never got around to taking them. So let's change subjects a little bit. If you could see anybody, I'm gonna ask you this on the podcast, man, who would it be?
On yours, particularly?
Yeah. But you gotta be able to make that call or make that text.
It would be Jerry.
Man, shout out to Lil Jerry. To bring it home again, man. We're gonna hold you to it, man. I'm gonna write you for every day for
right.
Until, you know, he hop in the DM. If you could bring back any club for one day or one night, what would it be? Oh, man. Damn.
All right, so look, I'm going to be honest. Damn, I forgot about Southern. Oh, no. It'd be between Ainsworth, Southern, and Lux, honestly. But
Lux at?
Lux was at by the waterfront.
Okay, yep. Wasn't that Vibes at first?
Yep, yep.
Okay, yep.
But when I did my stuff there, it was Lux. Honestly, I would probably pick.
He's out of my time.
I'd probably pick Ainsworth, though.
Ainsworth?
Yeah.
Which one was that? He said Sully's.
It was Sully's, the old Sully's.
Yeah.
But I'd probably pick that one only because the space wasn't nothing that happened out there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. Just from my belief, when I did stuff, it was no shootings out there or nothing. It might have been a little scrape or fight or two, but it wasn't really nothing. And it was a big space. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why I really wouldn't pick Southern, because just I love that club, but it was just the space was like, we'd be touching if we was in there right now. And it's just me and you. That's my little one. No shade, though, Trey, for real.
It's in Sully's?
No, it's with Southern.
Oh, Southern?
The one on 4th Street.
Ah, okay. That's still open, ain't it? Nah, that's the
Pizza Papa Murphy's.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Groove, okay.
Right there, but it's on the same street as the Groove.
Yeah, okay, I'm thinking of the Groove, because I go to school down there, and sometimes we go there for lunch. Okay, yeah. But if I'm going to go old school. You ever been to Jim Porter's?
Jim Porter's?
Oh, man. It's what about Phoenix Hill?
Heard about it, but I ain't never been there.
They owned it, so I ain't never been to Phoenix Hill, but it was owned by the same people. Phoenix Hill is right there, you know, Baxter. You go to the end of Broadway, and you can go right down to Barstown Road, or you can make a left. That's where Phoenix Hill was.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Porter's was over by Grinstead. That place was huge. You know how big Coles was outside?
Mm-hmm.
Times that by like 5. But it was like inside. It was a man. They call it a ghetto mansion. It was just imagine Coles on the inside. Like, that place was huge. That was my favorite club of all time.
Used to be sold out every week?
Yeah, but it was more of like it was an every week thing. It was more of like a concert type of concert. Like, Christmas on a Thursday, you know what I mean? Thanksgiving, they have concerts there. It wasn't like a weekly thing, but that place is huge. It was maybe Coles about 4 or 5 times the biggest Coles, but it was all on the inside, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can smoke whatever, do with everything. And my other club would be, it used to be called the Roxbury. It was Villa Fontana, but that shit is tore down now.
I remember Roxbury.
Yeah, yep. I fuck with Villa. And Tailgaters, I don't know. That was kind of like some high school shit, though. But that was crazy, man. Would y'all be big on after hours? I think after 2-3 o'clock. If you ain't caught, you know what I mean? Like,
so, look, I had my share of after hours, but Some used to tell me, not even me, honestly, my brother. If he would be like, Brody, we not going out after hours tonight. I promise you, my right hand to God, something happened every single time he told me we not going.
Man, he's the guardian angel, man. Real talk, man. Like,
so I wasn't really too big on after hours, honestly.
Me either. My buddy instilled in me, said, what's outside at 4 or 5 in the morning? If like niggas is on drugs, people's up to no good, like shit ain't nothing. You know, you go to the club, it's 2 in the morning, it's time to go home, get your White Castles, you caught your cut or whatnot, but
yeah.
You just on some other shit if you out 4 or 5 of them. You know what I mean? To go home, my boy, like, it's... I ain't never really been big on the after hours. But let's go back to, like you said, so you saying a lot of party promoters, like, cut corners, compromises the safety of the people to, like, save a buck or something? Would you... Is that what you...
Yeah, they definitely do.
That's wild.
Like, when I mean that, like, I ain't going to never say no names on her because I never throw shade. But just I've had different people reach out to me and, like, I asked them, like, you know what I mean, who's their security? And it's been close friends that they paying $50 for all night. And, like, I never understood why people would do that because there's some people out here that like to go for party, but they really in the streets heavy. So do they not deserve to be safe because they doing what they doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's not my stilo. When I do an event, I'm getting security and police.
Okay.
I don't care what they say about me or whatever, but I know at the end of the day, we all going to make it home straight. Because think about it. If you go to the club, you in the streets, you know you got that thing on, you ain't supposed to have that thing on. You got this amount of money that you can go to the feds for, or this amount of dope. You know what I'm saying? Logically thinking, the police is in the front. As soon as the party's over, I make them cut their lights on so they can see the lights up. As a nigga that's doing stuff like that, they're going to be like, oh, hell no. Let me get the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just not going to have a different mindset versus no police and no security and stuff being there. They might see they best op. And, you know, the rest is history. And then that's on your name as you being a promoter. Like, nah, girl, we can't go to his party. His party's always just getting shot up and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't like it.
Right. So how would you go back and get the police? Like, how would you, like, are they paid for hire? Do you just
pay for hire.
Really?
So, like, honestly, what I've done, if the venue don't have, like, them contacts and stuff to get the people there and I pay for it, I've been seeing officers out and I asked them, like, you know what I mean, sir, do you have, like, can I hire you for a private event or something like that? And they ask me, like, what is the event about? And I tell them, or if you don't do that, you can go to the stations that's by your club, like whatever club you're doing your event at, you can go to the nearest division of their thing and go in there and ask people, like, because sometimes they got to get it approved, though. This is crazy. They got to get it approved by the division to be okay with them going out to working after hours because they got to wear their uniform and take their car. So it's kind of like they're still on the clock. I wonder if they be getting paid for it, though, because that don't make sense why they got to do that. But that's how I done. That's how my very first time. That's how I did. I went into a division and asked, like, could I get some police officers for an event, and I'd pay.
Ah, that's dope, man. Anything to keep the people safe, man. I'm working with police, FBI. If I'm throwing a party, hey, man, to keep the people safe, man. Like you said, never gonna work 40 hours, 50. They ain't trying to dodge no bullets or nothing like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they too damn expensive, though. I tell you that.
Really?
Yeah. What? They $350 to $500 a person.
Oh, shit. So, damn. So, that's really... So, if you see 4 or 5 cops at a... 6 cops at a goddamn place, like, a nigga didn't pay the money for that damn beat, you know.
Yeah. So, when I did, like I was talking about the Rob 49 concert, or not even that, when I did the pool party, because the pool parties was the most security and police I had, I would always get 4 officers. I had to because they work in purse. So, and that was just an excuse to get a couple more dollars. But they would charge me $350 because I got 4 of them. And if I got 2 of them, it'd be $500.
Yeah.
But it was 4 officers and 12 shirts. 12 shirts is the security, so it'd be them and the security. The security and police officers' ticket was the highest ticket outside of, like, everything else. Like, it was, like, $2,500 to $3,000 every single event.
Ah, damn.
But it was worth it because then nothing happened.
Right. It's worth it, yeah, because, like you said, nothing happened.
Like, I seen the fight one time in my event. It was the police and security did their job so good. The fight was down the street, all the way, like, away from the event.
Yeah. He used to be a security guard, my producer, but he kept getting beat up. So he said, you know, serious, like, you know, when we first started the podcast, he'd come, you know, Sunday you know, we party Saturday night, we recording something. He come with a black eye. I'm like, what happened, man? Like, he said, yeah, man. And, you know, he got roughed around, man. But he's
cartoon nuts.
Yeah, quite big stupid nuts. I'm like, I'm glad you ain't on camera, you know.
we not ready to play with him today. Hello. Not his day.
So, you said you're a father, right?
Yeah.
So how does it work, balancing, you know, the nightlife and the being a busy man? How's it, you know, work?
It didn't.
It didn't?
It never did. Mm-hmm. Honestly, me and my kid's mother actually kind of like didn't get along because of the nightlife.
Yeah.
Like, even though they knew, like, that was my scenery, like, I could go to the party and have a ball no matter where, because that's just what I like to do.
Yeah.
They didn't like it at all. You know how pregnant girls are. They think you in every girl's face.
Yeah. Real emotional.
Yeah, so. Uh-huh.
So, well, what's up next for production, man, for your production company? What's up next, man?
So, I really can't say yet because it ain't been locked in, but my birthday is January 13th, so y'all just stay tuned. Because I might, you know, I did some on my birthday last year, so I feel like it's a part two coming this year, definitely.
Diddy party, man?
So, she stick at the baby walk? Nah, it ain't gonna be no Diddy party. We're gonna have a ball. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a blast.
So if Diddy come out, it's a hypothetical. And hey man, I need you to throw, you know, he come to you and try and throw a party. If he get out, and are you taking that call?
What you mean, no? Diddy, how much money you got, Diddy?
Yeah.
A million. I can see me now. You heard, you there. Police security.
Yeah.
We need you. And you capping, you going.
Stay away from that baby oil. The baby oil was spiked, though. That's what fucked me up.
Yeah, they said it was, what was it? Liquid something.
Yeah. Because that didn't make no sense. Ain't no...
1,000 bottles?
Yeah, ain't that much bulk in the world. Like, you know what I mean? It ain't nothing to go to the store and get 10, you know, 10 bottles of baby oil. That shit had to be pre-spiked. That was my first thing before they even announced them. Like, that ain't no regular baby oil. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look at
$10,000 or, you know, 10,000 bottles, man. But this is all assumptions. He's innocent until proven guilty. I don't know. I can separate the man from the music. I still listen to R. Kelly. You know, he's a foul nigga, but I still listen to R. Kelly. I still listen to Diddy, you know.
Golden Showers.
Golden Showers.
No, I mean, I can't say nothing about the baby boy, though, because I told you, I used to throw pool parties.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Did the pool parties ever get wild? Did you get, you know?
I don't need no pool party for that.
Verbiage, grandson.
There you go. Yeah, the pool parties definitely used to get wild for real. Like, not on camera, though. It'll be, like, afterwards. But, yeah.
Okay. After hours.
Yeah, after hours. After hours.
Man, it was wonderful talking to you, man. It was a pleasure. Anything you want to say to the, before you get off the camera, you want to shout out? You got a message for the youth, a message for our listeners?
I say keep God on your life. I can't say the rest, but...
keep God in your life, but I can't say the rest.
I can't say the rest, because they say some wild things, but... No, I really... I just appreciate y'all for having me, you know what I mean? It was a blessing coming on, and I hope to do it again.
Yeah. Many times soon. And like you say, we appreciate all the support, and we supposed to be and had you on, man. Like, so... We love all the support. Stay patient. We getting everybody on here, man. It's the biggest platform in the city of Louisville. The biggest positive platform in the city of Louisville. You know what I mean? We ain't no goofy shit going on over here, man. So get at us, man. If you're a rapper, entertainer, anything with a positive message, you want to come and sit on the couch and talk to me, bigandlazy.com, bigandlazypod on Instagram, bigandlazypod@gmail, and we're going to end it just like that.
Yeah. This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey. Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast, as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support. And keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.
Hey, y'all. We Them Girls here. Are you a small business looking to grow your reach?
Well, we want to grow together. So DM us at We Them Girls Pod on IG, or you can email us at wethemgirls.pod@gmail.com.
We can't wait to grow with y'all.